Radio.
A very popular reality show, Under the Microscope, Child Labor Laws, Are They Breaking Them? We'll talk about that. It's all the buzz. And, of course, when you talk about children, there should be concern. Speaking of children, a baby dropped off in very hot temperatures in Florida in nothing but a cardboard box. We've heard these stories before, but I don't get it. Especially when you can go to a fire station, no questions asked, drop the kid off, and walk away. Why would you put a kid down in 90-degree temperatures and let them boil and bake? Luckily, this infant survived. I'll give you more on that. The big story, of course, sadly, GM in bankruptcy. Sadly for the people whose livelihoods depended on GM. So saying that there are tough times ahead for many people in Michigan and Ohio and other parts of the country is not doing it justice. It's going to be a really tricky, tricky road back for many, and a tricky road to maneuver for GM. How do they get back on that road that is paved with the gold called profitability? And with the government owning over 70%, it is vital that there's a turnaround, right? Because, yeah, you and I were the ones that, because it's our money, right, that gave the big old handout to GM and the automakers. And now at this point, Chrysler's filed for a government-backed bankruptcy, of course, we know that. And they show that is it possible for a large company like Chrysler, like GM, etc., to move and move quickly and get through the bankruptcy court? And the answer is, well, yeah, they could get through quickly, but in the restructuring process, how fast can they make GM turn around? And it's worth asking this question. How many people out there have a vested interest in saving GM? How many people will make a GM product their next car? I asked a couple of people this in my, just out of curiosity, just people in my life, from the guy at the cleaners on down. I laughed just because I have my little guinea pigs. And almost everybody I asked said that it would depend on the price of the car. It would depend on the car itself, that they weren't opposed to getting something from GM, but that they weren't, A, looking for a new car right now, and that ultimately it would come down to the dollars and cents of it. Did it make sense for them to get the car? We have to figure that there's going to be massive incentives here, because if you've got GM in this bankruptcy, and is bankruptcy really going to solve the automaker's problems? That's the other question. But now that they're going to be in this bankruptcy, in flipping it around, you got to hope that people want to buy the cars. Because these stories about all these plants, of course, assembly plants on down going out. Assembly plants in Pontiac, Michigan, Wilmington, Delaware, they're going to close this year. Plants in Spring Hill, Tennessee, Orion, Michigan, they're going to shut down production, but stay on what they call standby. And, basically, at Spring Hill anyway, the almost 2,500 people that work there were told that the plant's pretty much going to be idle. And it's just a standby situation if they can turn things around. But you certainly can't rely on that when you have to feed your family. So this is going to hurt, I think, the Midwest more than any other place. Our friends listening to us in Kalamazoo, you know what I'm talking about. So in turning around the level, at least sold, I mean, it's going to be at least a couple of years. I was thinking about this today. It's going to be at least a couple of years before sales get back to the level they were, 15 million. It was a benchmark for more than a decade. GM probably poised for, what, I don't know, 9.5 million to 11 million maybe is what they're selling. and that it's very, very, very low. And here's the problem. If the recession doesn't change and more people continue to lose jobs, how many people are really, even with incentives, are going to want to go and buy a car? It's going to be a necessity. If they have to get it, they will. But then there's such a thing as used cars or public transportation. So it's absolutely no layup whatsoever. In the meantime, the strangest story, I mean, really honestly, is you got to think that the hope is fading. 228 people on this missing French jet. Catastrophic. Doesn't begin to describe this event that happened over the Atlantic on a Rio to Paris flight. Doesn't that sound glamorous? Rio de Janeiro, I'm going to fly from Rio to Paris. And it, these towering thunderstorms did something to the electrical system. They believe, but they don't even know that for sure. Pretty much they fear that everybody is dead that was on board the plane. But like the Bermuda Triangle stories, it has simply vanished. Vanished. So you've got all kinds of military planes that are all over the place, the coast of Brazil, West Africa, France, of course, trying to ask for U.S. satellite help to find the wreckage. And the first military ship not expected to reach the area where the plane might have disappeared until Wednesday. So let's put it this way. If there are no survivors, it would be the worst aviation disaster since 2001. Yeah. Now, there is a report in going through some local Spanish papers that I happen to see that you've got a Brazilian Air Force colonel who's saying that a commercial airplane pilot saw what happened. It looked like fire on the ocean near the route that was taken by the Air France plane. So there's information that they saw these orange points on the ocean where the plane just simply vanished. And then, of course, after arriving in Brazil, the pilot who thought they saw that found out about the disappearance of the Air France plane and said that that talked about the points on the ocean that he had mentioned. So there's no clear hypothesis. Nothing's been excluded from what might have happened. I mean, there's speculation. Lightning might have done something to the electrical system. Something else could have damaged the plane. I mean, who knows at this point? This is Air France flight 447, but I'd say the prospects just get dimmer and dimmer of finding anybody after this. There were, of course, a lot of Brazilians and French people, but 32 countries in all were represented on the plane, including the two Americans. As I mentioned, the plane was going at its normal 35,000 feet, 522 miles an hour, just before it disappeared about 4 hours into the flight. No trouble was reported. It left radar contact, and that was it. That was it. But they did go through a thunderous area, and there's a lot of turbulence there, and they know that for sure. Wow, what happened to that plane? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Will you help the people out of GM and buy a car to right this ship that is certainly sinking through the bankruptcy? Hang with us.
Less than a century ago, half of the American public grew much of their own food. Today, it's been estimated that only 1% of Americans still grow their own food. During the Great Depression, over 18 million people suffered from starvation. And as America continues down its current path, for many, the reality of another depression is a very serious concern. With massive layoffs and unemployment at record levels, growing your own food will help you save money that you'd normally spend at the grocery store. Invest in your family's future by stocking up with your very own supply of seeds available from GetSeeds.net. Each order includes over 14,000 non-GMO chemical-free seeds that will provide you with food for years. Call 877-394-6657 to get 100 varieties of our heirloom seeds for just $49. Once again, that's GetSeeds.net or call 877-394-6657 to establish your own food supply today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I like to see you look right across the floor.
Our agreement with the U.S. Treasury and the governments of Canada and Ontario provide a fast-track plan to form a leaner, quicker, more customer, completely product-focused company.
All right, of course, that is the man who had to file the bankruptcy, the CEO of GM. GM now 20,000 jobs lost, and of course, you and I are the taxpayers, so all that bailout money to try to right what's happened with the company after years of problems, years of bad debt, after massive success, because this really was a slice of Americana, massively successful corporation. Your thoughts on whether you would buy a car or not even from GM? I think if it gets worse for people and things are really tight, they're not going to want to buy a car unless they absolutely have to. That's the other thing. 800-259-5791. Jana is listening to us in Iowa. Hey, Jana.
Hi, Kate. I don't know the ethnicity of this Muslim guy that shot the guys in Arkansas, but I'm going to be kind of like Mark and have a little soapbox here.
Right.
A lot of the Muslim population in the United States that I would be worried about, and I'm not a racist, so it's not from the fact that they are black Muslims, but it's the fact that they are recruited in the prisons. They're people that have already, lots of them, done violent acts. They're in there, and Obama probably doesn't want to touch that with a 20-foot pole because he doesn't want to offend blacks and he doesn't want to offend the Muslims. Like, he's on the eve of this big trip to go into Saudi Arabia and Egypt and stuff.
Right.
But that's something that you don't hear talked about, and I think for homeland security reasons, it should be.
Right, but here's the thing. Remember the whole thing about not profiling. was something that was massively debated during the Bush administration after 9/11. And, of course, people always point to Israel and they say, well, look at how successful they are, El Al, in their airlines and how they run things. And, you know, it doesn't matter. They'll profile everyone all day long. But America is not Israel. And then that's where you get into, you're right, that's where you get into that political correctness and sensitivity. And the Muhammad was a black man. He had converted to Islam at some point in his life. He flipped to it. And he said to the cops that this is a political thing. You know, he was ranting about that and ranting about the religious reasons. But see, here's the thing, and Jana, this is what we're seeing, and it's scary, and you're right to get on your soapbox like Mark. It's scary because you have two kids. I mean, they were kids that are going to a recruiting center. They're there, not even cracking 24 years old. One guy is dead, the other in stable condition, because this idiot pulls up and decides to shoot them both.
Yeah.
And how do you combat that? What do you do? And how do you be sensitive to the issue? We've got a problem here. You're right.
Yeah, and it just... and I've heard people talk about this that have converted, and they have said, and especially in the prisons, and there are also white Muslim converts in the prisons too, and you know they were saying, like, the black converts were saying, well, you know, the Christians had us as slaves and that wasn't right, and we went back to our true religion of, you know, the motherland in Africa. And if they would actually check history, the Arabs did invade Africa. They mm-hmm. took slaves. They converted mm-hmm. people at the end of the sword to give up their African religions and become Muslim or else. And you don't hear that discussed, you know. And I just think we need some kind of dialogue where people, you know, are not prejudiced people, but it needs to be talked about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Why can't we have an open dialogue? Jana, thanks. Why can't we just talk openly about it? Why can't people share their feelings and thoughts? And because there's certainly people that are Muslim people that it's infuriating to them and wrong to be categorized. I mean, I hate that, and we all do it. The whole label thing can be so bloody dangerous. It can be, because you get off into these, you start to label people, and you get off into these areas that you don't want to go. It's like anything. You can take someone who's conservative and say, well, they all think this way. You take someone who's liberal, well, they all are this way. Because there's extremism in both of those. That's the bottom line. You know, the bottom line is open dialogue is certainly better. But, Jana, very tough to get. Very tough to get. 800-259-5791. Talking about, of course, what happened in at that recruiting center, SAD, in Arkansas, and the buyout situation with GM, the fact that it's official, it's now people without jobs. I mean, you know, you've got over 20,000 people and counting, because I think it's going to be more, and plants are closing at different times, but there's plants all over the country, mostly in the Midwest, but not just the Midwest. And so people have to buy these vehicles, or GM doesn't turn around. It's about sales, baby. Mark is listening to us in Ohio. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, I was just this whole thing got me mad tripping, because GM, if the government owns 70% of the company, and the government's run by the taxpayer, or paid by the taxpayers,
right?
And I was just thinking to myself, why would, if we're already paying to have the cars built and paying for the people to build them, why should we have to go out and pay for them again?
Right, and here's the thing, and if we don't go out and pay for them and then it goes belly up, then we've lost all that money too. Yes, it's a very interesting point, but you're right. We pay for the bailout, and then we have the privilege of rescuing the company by buying the products.
That's just, I don't understand. I don't understand
crazy.
That at all. I mean, I'm sorry people are losing their jobs or whatever, but, they, you know, it's just like if I lost my job, nobody's going to bail me out.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem, Mark. There's no bailout for you. There's no bailout for me. There's no bailout for the guy down the street. You didn't work for one of the companies that got the handout, and we didn't get the memo that there were certain companies to work for and that this was going to happen in the future. And that's what the bottom line is. You know, the spigot gets cut off, but it's not fair. And then people say, well, life isn't fair. But that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is we go back to the whole bailout thing that happened in the fall, and it was catastrophic. It's been catastrophic what happened to the housing industry. So Mark makes a great point. Mark, thanks. I understand where you're coming from.
I got one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't that the world like one more step to socialism?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people are concerned that, boy, you start to think about this, the bailouts, government control, geez, is this going to add up? You know, you start to read, what is socialism? Google it, dictionary.com. I'm hoping not, Mark. I'm hoping that this is, you know, that people are starting to freak and they're starting to see some things that are adding up and they look like that, but that's not the direction we're going in. Because, listen, I'll tell you, I don't want socialized medicine. Michael Moore can say whatever he wants about the medicine that the health care that they have available in Canada. And I think it's brutal what we have in the United States. But at the same time, trust me, folks, in many ways, you don't want socialized medicine. We have people that call us from Canada, and it's a mixed bag what they say. But for the most part, they say that what is the incentive for the doctors? So there has to be a way to, and we're going to talk about this coming up, by the way, on our next show about the whole healthcare nonsense. There has to be a way to solve this riddle, but it's not through going down that direction of socialized medicine. So Mark says, in a nutshell, when you look at the government and the bailout and everything, isn't that another sign of socialism? Being the optimist, Mark, and people listening that I am, I'm saying, no, because I really don't want to live in a socialist country. I love the United States. I love the fact that we live in a democracy and we can completely disagree and we can completely agree, and it doesn't matter. The bottom line is we're free to do what we want to do. That changes. That's tweaked a little bit. Ultimately, what you've made in your lifetime is affected by that. And people mistake, okay, you get the education, which that would be great. Of course, it sounds good. And maybe you do get really good. Let's say you get decent medical care, and we don't have to worry about that. Okay, that's good. But then people don't talk about how much you're taxed. And what are you doing? So I'm playing the optimist. I don't think that's going to happen. But it is scary. It's like we have our toe dipped in the water. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging out with you here on ATN.
Well, I'm not getting bailed out.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn, and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
A GPS system and a backup camera for people who qualified. Man, I'm excited about that. That is a great prize because how many of us don't need a GPS system, especially if you get lost a lot? I'll tell you what, you know what it's good for? If you travel here and there, let's say you have relatives or you're just going on this vacation you saved up for and you, despite the economy, you still can afford to do it. And then you get to wherever it is and you have no clue where anything is and you're tired of asking people lots of questions. Hey, where's that store? Where's this? And then they're telling you, hang a left 2.5 miles down. You have no idea what they're talking about. Well, you won't have to worry if you win this GPS system. So again, we're giving that away next hour. How about that? Huge. Hugeness. Speaking of hugeness, sadly, when this plane disappeared, this French airliner over the Atlantic Ocean for the Air France jet, how much of a chance do you give them? Well, the thing, and I said this, can you imagine? I can't. You imagine you're excited, somebody's coming back, whoever it is, son, daughter, boyfriend, you know, put any form of a relationship out there, and think of picking them up, but there's no one to pick up, and yet it's not because they tell you some horrible thing about a wreckage, but they tell you the plane disappeared. So what happened is pilots flying a commercial jet from Paris to Rio de Janeiro for Brazil's largest airline, TAM it's called, T-A-M, they saw what they thought was a fire in the ocean along the Air France jet's route, which would have been their route anyway, on Monday. So that tells you, well, you know, now they have a direction of where it could be. But they don't even know that for sure. And then you think of the currents and how deep the water is and all that other sort of stuff. So nothing is really being excluded. You have experts talking about all kinds of things, that lightning might have brought the plane down, thunderstorms, all that sort of stuff, pounding the plane with hail and high winds, structural damage, and the pilot can't get around it and all that sort of stuff. So the idea of finding any survivors is pretty much moot. Not a great chance of that happening. This four-year-old Airbus left Rio with 216 passengers, 12 crew. So 61 French citizens, 58 Brazilians, 26 Germans, they had Italians and Chinese folks, etc., and two Americans also on the plane. The plane was cruising what would be normally at about 35,000 feet, going about 522 miles an hour just before it, poof, vanished, disappeared, 4 hours into the flight. No trouble was reported. The plane just left the radar contact, and that's all everybody knows at this point. But except for that, there were a band of thunderstorms in that area, pretty turbulent, bad ones. I just said bad. But you get my drift of what probably happened here. So the plane crosses through this thunder zone, and with the turbulence, spells disaster. I just can't imagine. I keep having this image. You know, some people are good at painting pictures. I don't want to say that, but, you know, dream. I'm like a person who dreams a lot, okay? Usually my dreams are strange. They're strange dreams. But I can paint this picture in my head, and it's a sad picture. I just think of people coming to pick up whoever it is that's been gone. They're excited, can't wait to see them. You know how that whole thing is. When I was a kid, and I guarantee a lot of you guys can relate to this, when I was a kid, I used to love to go to the airport because people would fly in. I had like a favorite aunt from Chicago that would come in and we'd to Philly and we'd pick her up. And we couldn't wait to go running, screaming to the gate to get her and seeing the planes land and that whole thing. Well, that's the situation you have here where people were excited for their loved ones to come back, but just trying to reconcile with the fact that. And, you know, people do this all the time because death and taxes, we know, we can't avoid it, right? But the fact that you've got nothing, it makes it so hard. So this flight 447 just poof, gone. Now the pilot, because this has become an issue now with how much experience your pilots have, the pilot had 11,000 hours of flying experience, including 1,700 on that particular aircraft. So the one thing that's weird, something happened quickly because there was no Mayday call. Usually there's at least a Mayday call. Now in Brazil, what they did, you had relatives that were flown to Rio de Janeiro where Air France was assisting the families. At the Charles de Gaulle airport north of Paris, a lot of the people that were there, they were in this, you know, roped off area, did not want to talk to reporters because that's what it's been. There's been just nothing but reporters hanging around. If the 228 people were killed, it would be the deadliest airline disaster since November 12, 2001. And you remember this, American Airlines jet crashed in the New York City borough of Queens, of course, during a flight to the Dominican Republic, killing all 265 people. So something definitely, definitely went wrong here. But the idea of, okay, we've got the search going on all over the Atlantic, but we can't tell you the plane is just lost. Again, I'm trying to wrap my head around it, and that's got to be brutal. Speaking of got to be brutal, I'd hate to make this phone call, too. Sorry, your son's been killed. He was standing in front of a recruiting center. Oh, yeah, he wasn't stationed anywhere. He just finished his basic training. Or your son's been wounded severely. He's in stable condition at a hospital right now. That's what's happened thanks to a man with an axe to grind politically and religiously, killing a soldier just out of basic training and then wounding the other guy that I mentioned. Now, he acted alone as far as the cops can tell. It's a homegrown thing. And the suspect is 23-year-old Abdullah Hakim Muhammad. He told the police that he looked at the two soldiers in uniform, just drove up to the recruiting center and shot them. Saw him standing there, drove up, poof, decided to shoot because it made him furious. And both were from nearby hometowns. They volunteered to work at the recruiting center to attract other local people to the military. And again, sadly, these two, one was killed and one is in a hospital. Now, as for the suspect, Muhammad converted to Islam. This is all too familiar to too many of us at some point in his life. And, you know, probably had some kind of a political or religious axe to grind motives for this attack. I mean, what were the specific moments? Maybe they'll be able to find out. But he's going to be locked up forever. He's going to be charged with first-degree murder, 15 counts of committing terrorist act. And people were standing around, too. You hear that pop, and I don't have to tell most of you, but you hear, if you hunt or anything, if you're far enough away, it just sounds like, wow, is that a gun? What's going off there? Awful. Also, speaking of suspects, they do have a suspect in the killing of the abortion doctor, and a lot of people holding their breath. Anybody involved with quotes pro-life, I'm sure you didn't want to see some kind of something like this happen at a Lutheran church in Wichita, Kansas, to have Dr. George Tiller killed by this guy that obviously felt like Tiller, who was serving as an usher at his church, didn't have the right to do what he was doing. The suspect is Scott Roeder, who was taken caught by the police about 170 miles away in a Kansas City suburb 3 hours after that whole thing went down. And to me, nothing could be worse for what I'll say is the pro-life movement. He had lived at a house, so he wasn't living with his wife, he was estranged from his wife, had lived at a house somewhere else, moved out, was living in Kansas City, in a suburb in Kansas City, and just decided to do this. Just decided, all right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go after this doctrine. They're still trying to figure that out. The guy even had protection from U.S. Marshals in 2001, and he had gotten protection off and on. So in Washington, the U.S. Marshals Service is saying, as a result of this shooting, here's what they're gonna do. Attorney General Eric Holder has ordered it to increase security for a number of people and ultimately the facilities too. Crazy. Operation Rescue, by the way, is condemning the killing as vigilantism and a cowardly act. And the group's president, Troy Newman, said that the suspect has never been a member, contributor, or volunteer. That's the good news, because even they don't want to be a part of this. They want to distance themselves from it. Good for them. 800-259-5791 if you want to give us a jingle here on ATN.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hey, but I said no.
Well, some people think she's not the one to be the Supreme Court justice. Others say a big thumbs up to Sonia Sotomayor. You know my thoughts on this. I don't think that there's anything that's going to stop this anyway. Will she change the makeup of the court? The answer, I believe, to that is no as well. Because if you look at Justice Souter, if she were exactly like Souter in what ultimately her opinions would be, then you would be replacing one with the other. But I actually think she won't be as liberal as he is. But it's showdown time. The Senate has to confirm this for it to become official. President Barack Obama would like that to happen by October. I think it will. But it could get a little bit nasty. Here are a ton of comments from some of your senators and congressmen.
The entire concept of the American rule of law is blindfolded justice, that the judge sets aside their personal and political and biases of any kind and gives an objective ruling on the law and on the facts. People have to believe that or they lose respect for the law. The marvelous moral authority of the law can be undermined if people think that the decision is being made by on the basis of a judge's personal views or biases or background. And I read her piece. It's very interesting. I think it's something we need to probe, but I think it goes against the great heritage of American law that calls for judges to be a neutral umpire, as John Roberts said.
We'll talk to her about her remarks, and we will during the hearing. But in answer to the question you asked my friend Jeff Sessions, I totally reject those kind of claims made by leaders of the Republican Party like Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh. To equate her with the head of the Ku Klux Klan, to call her a bigot, this is baloney. Nothing in her background would indicate that she is a bigot or equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan or anything else. This is a woman who has a compelling story. And growing up in the projects, her father working as a welder with a third grade education dies when she's a child. Her mother works hard as a nurse to put her through school. She works hard to put her through school, graduates with honors both in undergraduate and in law school, becomes a prosecutor. And both Senator Sessions and I are former prosecutors. We know all the life experiences you get there. She was a corporate lawyer. She spent more time on the federal between the trial bench and the appellate bench in the federal court than anybody in the last 100 years.
Church's blog.
I am not. No.
Okay. Well, he apparently, I'm told it is on his blog, that he said, imagine a judicial nominee said, my experience as a white man makes me better than a Latina woman. Wouldn't they have to withdraw? New racism is no better than old racism. A white man racist nominee would be forced to withdraw. A Latina woman racist should also withdraw.
Well, I think it is probably important for anybody involved in this debate to be exceedingly careful with the way in which they've decided to describe different aspects of this impending confirmation. I think we're satisfied that when the people of America and the people of the Senate get a chance to look at more than just the blog of a former lawmaker, that they'll come to the same conclusion that the president did.
On this, join us live is Ken Starr, the Dean of Pepperdine University Law School and former judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, who has been through some of these proceedings. Nice to see you, Ken.
Good to see you, Greta. Thank you.
Ken, how do we know if this is a good nominee or not?
Well, I think the hearings are going to be important, but above all, it's her record as a judge. It is important to explore these statements that she's made, because some of the statements that she's made are troubling. But the key is, what was her record as a judge? And her record as a judge, from everything that I've seen, is a very fine record. Full disclosure, she's been to our campus twice over the last couple of years, and she's worked very hard with incoming judicial law clerks. She's really a very energetic, committed to the system. But I will say this, one of the most important characteristics of a justice is that she be humble, that she be modest in her approach to the Constitution. And that, I think, is what the confirmation hearings are really going to come down to.
All right, so that was a little hodgepodge of some of the thoughts on the Hill of Sonia Sotomayor, because that process is getting closer and closer as to whether or not she will be confirmed. But hold your horses first. She will be vetted out and then some by the Senate, right? But everybody's got an opinion as to comments that she made at Berkeley, and will she have this, quote, empathy that the president is asking for, and isn't justice supposed to be about interpretation of the law and all that sort of stuff. So, it could get kind of interesting, let's say. In fact, I think it will be interesting to watch these confirmation hearings. Certainly nothing like Clarence Thomas. I don't think we're going to see that. And I don't even think you're going to see it like what happened with Roberts either, if you remember some of the questions that, he was asked and how tough that was. And I believe, though, that this isn't going to be lickety-split. Will it happen by October? Yeah. And I don't think there's any way to block any either. Because if you look at the majorities, it would be pretty, pretty tough, I think, to be able to do that. And so that the bottom line is, and I'll say it again and again and again, we can talk about all of this until we're blue in the face, but there is no play here for saying, okay, unless there's something that we don't know. If some outrageous thing were to come out of the woodwork and bite her, then that would be different. But at this point, it looks like Sonia Sotomayor is going to be the next justice, a woman, and happens to be a Hispanic woman at that. So I'm going to say it's almost a layup, baby. Almost a layup. Yes, it's true. Hey, and in case you missed this, pretty huge stuff, I think we talked about it, but I don't know why I was looking at this and I was thinking, oh my gosh, this trial went on forever and forever. How many people can remember tuning in to something locally on the tube and seeing Phil Spector with various crazy hairdos? I mean, this is a guy who was incredible in the rock arena in his time. So this time around, they finally got him. It reminded me in a different way of shades of O.J. Simpson. And the Superior Court Judge Larry Paul ordered a term of 15 years to life for second-degree murder plus 4 years for personal use of a gun. This is big for the family of the woman, Lana Clarkson, who was murdered. And even her mother made a brief statement before sentencing talking about her daughter's fine qualities and sense of humor and all that other sort of stuff and saying that nobody should suffer the loss of a child. And also, Spector had to pay $16,000 plus in funeral expenses. And then $9,000 to a state victims restitution fund and some other fees, too. So anyway, this time around, Spector, who gained massive fame for decades, he was in fact really known as the father of the Wall of Sound. It's a recording technique that changed rock music. And Clarkson was famous as the star of the 1985 cult film classic Barbarian Queen. She was 40 when she died. Good for her family that the mother got a chance to speak out. And Spector now nailed to the wall on this one. 15 years to life, in case you missed it. In case you missed anything, you can send me an email to americatonight.net. Remember, we still live in the greatest country in the face of the earth, so lean over and grab that brass ring.
It's going to take a little longer than I thought.